Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and He loves me too. I shall be like Him. I shall be like Him. I shall be like Him. I love Jesus, He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and He loves me too.
Hallelujah. Oh, you do, Lord. Praise God. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? That's number 483, I believe. 483. We'll sing that second verse as we stand together. seats as we sing the chorus again, a little slower maybe.
All that thrills my soul.
A special treat. I understand we have a duet with our sister Elsie Sommer, and who else was that? Sister Hildegard. Come, sing for us. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That's a camp song. Hallelujah. Something when you've served him that many years and can sing that song from your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's been a joy to me to serve the Lord together with these other ministers. They become some of my dearest friends. We're often on the platform together on holidays, Thanksgiving services, and so on, Good Friday. And sometimes I'll stand and I'll be the human music stand for Brother Ernie and Brother Philip. But it really doesn't matter, because then I turn and I see their eyes are closed anyway. So, but we go through the motions. Praise God. We meet together on Mondays at the Faith Home. Brother Ernie met a minister at Easter Sunrise Service, and he was from the neighborhood in Ridgewood. And he said, "Do you ever get together with other ministers?" Ernie said, "Every Monday." He said, "Wow, you think I could come?" He started coming. We got to know Brother Sal Puma, and he was amazed that here's a fellowship where ministers have fellowship on such a regular basis. And then he went to Brother Eddie's Sunday school class one afternoon. You know, we had this idea of Pentecostals that were just all emotion and no Bible. And he said he was so amazed when he went to that men's class, how they studied the Word of God. And they had such insights, and they took the Word so seriously. They looked into the Hebrew and the Greek when necessary, but that it wasn't just emotion, it just wasn't feeling, but it was based on a solid foundation, the Word of God. And so when you tell people I'm Pentecostal, you know that's not what they're thinking of, are they? I always have to qualify that somehow. As soon as I say I'm Pentecostal, I wonder which snake handler they knew, or evangelist on TV and doing unusual things. But I'm so glad that I'm part of a Pentecostal fellowship that really teaches us to seek Jesus in His Word, and to seek the giver, not the gifts. The gifts are just an expression. They're the channels through which He comes to us. And that's what makes them all so precious. Praise God. We're going to hear something from our sister Susan, and rightly so. You know, our brother Eddie, I just got a new phone because my phone got messed up. And when I got my new phone, it was easy to get the phone numbers transferred over, but I lost my texts. And I felt bad about that, because I had a text from Brother Eddie a few days before he went to heaven. You know, he was so generous, and I can tell you this now, I wouldn't have said it while he was alive, but he used to have an envelope with my name on it, he tells me. And once in a while, he'd say, "I have an envelope for you. There's something in the envelope." And then he would hand me an offering. I'm assuming that it was part of his tithe that he divided up and gave some to me, which I appreciated over the years. And on this particular envelope, it had a Bible verse on it, Acts 1 something. Well, I looked up the verse, and it said, 120 gathered in the upper room. And sure enough, there was $120 there. So then I texted him, and I said, "Thank you for the offering. I especially like the Bible verse. But I was kind of hoping for Acts chapter 2. I think it's 3,000 were added to the church. And so I got a cute text back that said, "Good, we're on the same page. Let's keep our fingers crossed." Praise God. Susan, come. We feel his absence, of course, these days. But we have his lovely wife. Praise God. Bless you, Susan.
I've saved those texts too, Kenny. Don't want to get rid of my phone yet. I'm glad I can be here. I text someone this morning. I said, "Well, camp has certainly changed since the beginning of this week. We had little children running all over the place, and now it's the average age might be 80, 85, walking around this place, but it's still just as nice, and it's just as great to be here and to be with you. You, I wrote things over and over again. What do I say? How do I say it? This is not my my comfort zone. So I'm glad you spoke extra, because when I wrote my talk out, I timed it, and I was less than 4 minutes. So it's going to work out, Brother Paul. Okay. Over the years, I have observed that running Pilgrim Camp involves a lot of work. I don't know what month you start, Sister Letha. Is it January that you start getting things together for the coming year? I know Brother Paul and works on it all year. Brother John and Tom Andriuk also with the buildings around here. But it's a lot of work. And then once the season starts coming closer, I see the staff coordinators trying to find people, good people, to fill certain positions. And it's not always easy. I think Matthew contacted 40 nurses this year, trying to get nurses to come up to camp. Cooks, getting people's schedules to work for the camp. It's a lot of work. And you say, is it worth it? But it is. And I think we wouldn't be here if we didn't know that it was worth it. Because we know that we have met God here. And we want our children and grandchildren to meet God here also. And our friends and the people from our church. And so it is worth it. In the preface to the staff's devotional booklet, my sister-in-law listed several emphases that defined Pilgrim Camp. Two of them were, I would like to mention two of them. The first is service, and we heard a little bit about service already. But I would think that most of the people in this room have served in some capacity at Pilgrim Camp. And I would imagine that because of that, that has carried on into our lives, that I am sure that everyone here serves in their church somewhere, whether it's cleaning the church or a Sunday school teacher or mowing the lawn. I just feel like our time here taught us that there's joy in serving Jesus. And that is something that we treasure, that we can serve Jesus, but we want to serve Jesus, because when we were here, we enjoyed serving Jesus. Pilgrim Camp also gives an opportunity for those who have a chance to serve to prepare them for different ministries. I would think that if camp made a list of all the people that served at camp who are now missionaries, Sunday school teachers, pastors, the list would be very long. But I also saw very clearly how camp prepares people for certain jobs that we might not know lie ahead. When Edwin passed away at the beginning of this year, it happened so quickly, and we needed people to lead the meetings. And all the meetings that people have offered to lead, all of them served as counselors at camp or a head counselor at camp. And they got trained while they were here. That was part of their training to prepare them to fill in that position. And I saw how God has used camp to prepare people for future ministries. The second emphasis that I want to mention is a message we heard from our ministers, which was that we can know Jesus better, that we can find him today in a greater way. We were encouraged to seek Jesus, because when you seek him, you find him. We didn't just hear the message. We saw it lived before us in their lives. They wanted to know Jesus better. They wanted to find him in a greater way. And that made us want to find him too. I recall at Caroline Gardner's funeral, Uncle Arthur describing a scene from Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if anyone else remembers that. But he described from the beginning of the book, when Evangelist is pointing out to Christian, who isn't called Christian yet, the distant shining light. And he said, "Keep that light in your eye and go directly toward it, and soon you will see the narrow gate. So I saw in my dream that the man began to run. He had not gotten very far from his home when his wife and children cried after him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on, crying, 'Life, life, eternal life.' And without looking back, he fled toward the light." That's what I think of when I think of our leaders and our ministers from Pilgrim Camp. They kept their eyes on the light, and they ran towards it. That had an impact on my life, and still does.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God.
while the eternal glories gleam afar, to nerve my faint endeavor. So now to watch, to work, to war, and then to rest forever. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Continue to bless our sister Susan, Lord. So much prayer has gone up and continues. We surround them with our love and our faith. Pray that you will carry them forward and fill them with your grace and fulfill all the good pleasure of your will in this family. We thank you for the grace that we have seen in them, Lord, and the blessing that you continue to make them to us. And in all that they've been through, Lord, we pray that as a result, the blessing will flow more freely, fuller than ever, as Jesus comes. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Praise God. There is joy. Joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. True that is. Praise God.